Standing on that stage in Austin, Texas, I said, what am I doing here? This is not a place for me. You know, 20 years ago, I stood on the very stage in a Christian conference or a crusade, and I said to myself, I'm in the wrong place. But it's a whole full cycle of change. I'm standing on a different stage, and God just, you know, the Spirit of God just spoke to me, and I'm questioning myself, going, I'm in the wrong place. All I could hear was Solomon's words, vanity, vanity, and vanity. Everything that was happening in front of me is like, I miss church. I miss my church. I miss you wonderful people. Really miss you guys. Miss all the families. I miss what the Holy Spirit is doing in the church. I don't want to miss out on that. I don't know about you guys. When you don't come to church, do you feel like that? I feel like I'm missing out on something. Even the smallest thing that God is doing, I still miss it. And I knew that God's doing something in my life. That's number one. Number two is that I miss you guys. That's number two. Really do miss you guys. I couldn't wait to get back. Honestly, I couldn't wait to get back. The 2 weeks seemed like 3 months. And I knew in my heart that God has confirmed something in my heart, that's the marketplace has changed for me. He's taken me out of the marketplace. He's put me on a different marketplace. And number three, do you know what number three is? You are stuck with me as your senior pastor. That's number three. So hallelujah. Yep. And it's great to be back. I miss you guys. And I really got in on Wednesday and straight away. Had to prepare my heart for this Sunday. So, and I realized today is Palm Sunday. So, amazing! It's a very significant day today. And I want Roger, where are you, my brother Roger? He's gone upstairs. Oh, he's doing Sunday school. Praise God for Roger, hallelujah! I was getting to blow the shofar, but that's all right. We can do it after church, after the service. So, everybody okay? Please welcome. One of our families that have just arrived from Africa. Is it Uganda or? Yes. In Congo. Please, can you stand up? Can you stand up? Can you ask him to stand up? We want to welcome you in the name of the Lord. Welcome to this church, Living Light Gospel Church in Cairns. This is your family church. I know you speak French, but someone can tell you later on, but welcome to Living Light Gospel Church in Cairns. Families, meet them, talk with them, get to know them, learn some French. It's a good chance to learn some French, so yeah. Teach them English and they can teach you French. How's that? Speak in tongues. Hallelujah. Welcome. Thank you very much. All right. You brought your Bibles? Mama Alice didn't bring a Bible. Hallelujah. I like that. As long as your Bible's in here and in here, it's a good thing. I've got a lot of scriptures that I'm going to go through. It's kind of like a teaching. And because I started this journey on righteousness and walking in righteousness and being upright before God, I think this will be the closing of that subject. But it has been a wonderful journey. I know that the word that has been preached from this pulpit and from the other leaders in the church have been able to do something in your life. If it hasn't, then you need to check your own life, because the word of God is a double-edged sword. It's supposed to separate and divide the bone from the marrow and change your heart, that every time you come into church and you walk out of the door, you're never the same. There has to be a change that happened in you, and it only happens if you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you, the Holy Spirit to deal with your heart. We talk about the heart issue. I was talking to a young man on Thursday. He's going through some stuff. I don't know if he's here this morning, but if he is, I was going through some things, and I said, the consequences of sin is more, it's more hurtful than the sin itself. Committing sin is okay. You can repent and ask for forgiveness, but the consequences, you have to live with it. The Bible says that you will reap what you sow. That's the word of God. When God speaks, His word's gone forth, and nothing can change that unless He Himself changes it. But God never goes back on His word. So consequences is more dangerous and more hurtful, not only to yourself, but to others, than the actual committing of the sin. Are you with me? And today I just wanted to talk a little bit more and close this subject and chapter on walking in righteousness. And you know, that word itself has changed me. The word itself, to me, has changed my heart. The word itself has made me realize that my integrity is such that I have to lead the way in walking in integrity and in principle based on the word of God. So my title today is Fear of God Brings in Wisdom. Very simple. Very simple. The fear of God is such a powerful thing. And the thing that really caught my attention was when I was in America, I was looking at some, reading Time magazine, and there was an interview on Dr. Billy Graham on Time magazine. And it was the most powerful interview I've ever actually read. And, you know, Billy Graham's known more presidents in America than any man in America itself. Every American president have always asked for Billy Graham's presence in the White House. And every time he's in there, he always makes sure that he doesn't say things that'll compromise his walk. He says that his visit to the presidential White House, or where the White House is never political. It's always spiritual. And one of the things that he said, and that really shows in Billy Graham's integrity. For myself, it really blesses me. You know, the spirit that comes from the crusades that Billy Graham runs stretches all the way to Clark Taylor, to Pastor Bill Page. This is the heritage of that spirit, of what Billy Graham has been preaching, of the integrity that he has in his heart. I wonder if I can see my paper. Here you go. What explains Dr. Billy Graham's humility and integrity? And here was his greatest fear, which I pray that your church, you as a Christian, you as a believer, you as a follower of Christ Jesus, will take this fear into your heart seriously. Because we live in a time where skeptics are here to destroy the church. There are skeptics everywhere waiting for you to fall, waiting for the leaders to fall, waiting for the believers and the followers of Christ to fall. And then they will jump in and devour you like a wolf, like some wolf over some fresh meat. And here was his greatest fear, that I'll do, this is Billy Graham's words, that I'll do something or say something that will bring some disrepute on the gospel of Christ Jesus before I go. This is such an amazing statement made by Billy Graham. Because we were on the message of righteousness and walking in upright before God, and this, you know, I was going to end this today, I mean, ended last week, but because of that word from Billy Graham, I thought, my goodness, that's something I need to talk a little bit more about. And I know that we do have our integrity leadership on Wednesdays, which Pastor Bill used to run, but now I want to do that. I want to do an integrity leadership meeting for you guys, teaching on integrity and walking in principle, because it's so important. Right now, we are living in a time where integrity is so important. Hallelujah. If we want our lives to impact our culture, we must make Billy Graham's greatest fear our own. We have to adopt that fear that he doesn't want to do anything to bring disrespect to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. What a powerful statement from a man of integrity, from a man that has a legacy that you and I have come from that legacy. You and I have come from that same spirit that was preached by Billy Graham. The same gospel of Jesus Christ that was preached by Billy Graham all through the generations before us to now. You are sitting here because a man like Billy Graham has chosen to go out and preach the gospel. Hallelujah. That the fear of him may be before us. After God revealed himself at Mount Sinai, turn with me to Exodus 20, verse 18 to 19. In verse 18, now all the people witnessed the thundering and the lightning flashes and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. The people were afraid and trembled. And they stood far off and said to Moses, you speak to us and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us lest we die. there was a fear of God amongst the people of Israel at that day. And that fear and reverence of how powerful God is and the wrath of God. And in response in verse 20, Moses assured the people, he says, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you, that the fear of him may be before you, that you may not sin." Hallelujah. They were not to fear God, that God would destroy them on the spot, because that's what a lot of us think nowadays. They think we sin because we're under grace. God doesn't do that anymore because of what Jesus has done on the cross. But a lot of us are like that. But the fear of God is the greatest thing that you and I should have, because it brings in wisdom. Wisdom for what? Wisdom to avoid sin. Wisdom to avoid all the other stuff that's happening around the world. You are surrounded by this stuff. And so before you, so that you may not sin, there is a clear connection in Scripture between fearing God and refusing sin. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 6, these are some of the scriptures that talk about fearing God. "By fear of the Lord, one turns away from evil." Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13, "The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance and evil way and the perverse mouth I hate." This is what God is talking. This is God talking. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7, "Do not be wise in your own eye, but fear the Lord and turn away from evil." These are all amazing, powerful statements. You know, I pray that when you're sitting in this building and when word of God goes out like that, it has to do something in you. You see, you need to give the Holy Spirit some space to move in your life, because the Holy Spirit can't change you unless you allow him to do that. We need to give him space to move, because every time he wants to do something, you jump in the way. There was a famous saying by a famous preacher. He says that God wants to change the world, but the men are always in the way. Man is always in the way of God, because God can do anything if you jump in front of him. And this is so important. The word of God is so important that we need to allow the word of God to change us. Give him some time. Sanctification is a process. But sanctification to become Christ-like depends on you giving the Holy Spirit space to move. The Holy Spirit cannot move unless you give him space. And you know, everybody says sanctification is a process. Yes, but how long? How long is the process? Some people change like that on the day. Some people take a while. But if you're on some habits and you need to change, well, give the Holy Spirit some chance to move. Sanctification can happen like that. But because we don't give him the chance and the space to move, we can't change. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Why is fearing God such an effective antidote to temptation? Satan knows our desires, hallelujah, and offers to meet them in ways that seem harmless. This is what the devil does. Something that bites like a rattlesnake, he'll sugarcoat it with cream. And so you think we go to do stuff that we know that it's wrong, but because it's been sugar-coated so much by the enemy that we think it's fine. But the bite of that sin, the consequences of doing that, is more painful and hurtful than the actual benefit of it. Are you with me? Sin is, Jesus said to Peter, sin is crouching at your door. See, Jesus never got rid of sin. Get this into your spirit. Get this into your heart. Jesus never got rid of sin. He paid the way for it, made a way for us. Sin is still around. We don't have sin problem, but we have sinning problem. Because the enemy is still here. The devil is still here, knocking at your door, the door of your heart all the time. And so we don't have to go far to discover that we are surrounded by sin and evil. Amen? Satan knows our desires. The wages of sin is death in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. But it seems hard at times to believe that this warning applies to us. See, we got to apply whatever warning that Christ Jesus gives or God speaks in the Bible to our lives. Application is the greatest thing for your life. Having knowledge is one thing, but action speaks louder than words. Amen? Faith without action is dead. That's where the fear of God came in. You know, there's a voice that encourages us to believe that no one will know or be hurt by what we're considering. We are still on the topic of righteousness. We are still on the topic of walking in righteousness before God. But first of all, before yourself. Hallelujah. And Satan, sugar creamed and sugar puff, everything, seen to make it look like it's okay. But really, it's actually a poisonous snake. It's a taipan. And the consequences of that is more hurtful and more dangerous than the benefit of it. You with me? And here's my point. Satan will never tempt us to do something we know is deadly as a snake bite, but he will tempt us every day to choose sin, since we think that we can commit without consequences. This is what's happening around the world today. Everybody is doing that, saying that, yeah, I'm going to be fine. There's always a consequence that comes after you do something. Bible says that you will reap what you sow. You can become a Christian right now, having been forgiven by and cleansed by the blood of Jesus, but you will still reap what you have sowed by the consequences. It's there to stare you right in the face every day of your life. Hallelujah. We can confess our sins after we commit them and claim His forgiveness. However, the damage done to others and the world by sin remains. And we are forever lost. We lose the reward that was rightfully ours by faithfully obeying God's word. Amen. You with me? James chapter 1 verse 12. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life. This is exactly what we're talking about, the crown of life. Hallelujah. Which God has promised to those who love him. But not only love him, but obey him. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 6 verse 20, we know that the wages of sin is death. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 8. However, godliness is a value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. That's a good promise. Proverbs chapter 12. Solomon, man of wisdom. Solomon says, be attentive to wisdom. He says, pay attention to wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding, that you may keep discretion, and your lips may guard knowledge. Powerful words. Here's why his advice is so urgent. For the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil, but in the end she is bitter as a wormwood. Wormwood. Sharp as a two-edged sword. Solomon described the temptation that comes from the forbidden woman is actually talking about sin. So God grants us to seek wisdom and choose discretion before we face the forbidden woman, knowing that longer we consider temptations, the stronger it grows. If you think about something, and we've been talking about the three, you know, we're not going to bring them out again, those three guys, the flesh, the body, the soul, and the spirit. We're not going to bring that again, but we talked about that, and you understand that, and if you haven't been here, you missed out. And so we talked about having something in your mind, which is your mind, but your subconscious mind is the hard drive that stores everything. So when you have something in your mind and then you move it down to your heart, that's where the trouble starts. Amen? But Jesus, hallelujah. I love Jesus. I love the way he just throws something in there that you didn't expect. You know, God wants us to seek wisdom and choose discretion before we face the forbidden woman or sin. Knowing that the longer we consider temptation, the longer it grows, and the closer we get to sin, the harder it is to resist. But here's the word of Jesus. Pretty harsh words, pretty strong words. When he was preaching that, people started walking away from him, and he looked at his disciple and he says, and what about you? Are you going to leave? And they said, where are we going to go? You have the words of life. This is the word of life, church. You know, go to the book of Matthew, chapter 5, and read from verses 21 all the way to chapter 6. It talks about the Lord's commandments. Not the Ten Commandments, but the Lord's commandments. Hallelujah. I love Jesus. Jesus said, you have heard that it was said you shall not commit adultery. But he said, but I say. He said, you've heard that. You've heard that. But he said, I say that anyone that even looks at a woman with lust has already sin in his heart. Jesus' words is like a first line of defense for us. Because if the enemy can overcome the first line of defense, he's got you. And so Jesus said, don't worry about that. I say that if you even look at someone with lust in your eyes, then you have committed adultery. You have had it said that do not commit murder. But I say, hallelujah, I say that anyone who even has anger in his heart has already committed murder and will be judged. I love the words of Jesus because Jesus gets you even before you get to sin. He knows. Jesus knows you and I. That's why he asked Peter, he says, Peter, who do men say that I am? Peter says, everyone cursed and says, well, you are the you know, prophet Elijah, come back and you're this and that. Peter says, Jesus said, I know they said that. But he said, Peter, what do you think? Who do you think men say that I am? And Peter said, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. And Peter and Jesus said, Peter, son of John, he says, you have got this revelation from the Holy Spirit. And that's why he says these words. He says, but I say, you have heard that. You have heard the Ten Commandments. You have heard people say that. But he said, but I say. His words is like the first line of defense before sin. If you cross over that, you are in trouble. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Thank you, Jesus. Jesus' emphasis on your salvation more than anything else. He says, if your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than on your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off, throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go to hell. Jesus' emphasis was on salvation more than anything else. Salvation is key to Jesus. He came to restore you and I. He is the master of restoration. Because you know why he doesn't worry about all the one eye gouged out and the one leg lost? You're going to get a glorified body anyway. You can drag yourself with one leg into heaven and get a new body. Blind yourself out, walk in there with one eye and still get a new body. But Jesus said, do not go to hell with a healthy body. Because people can get healed and still end up in heaven, I mean, still end up in hell because they haven't given out to Jesus. They haven't really understood that it's about Jesus. It's about coming to know Christ. It's about giving your heart to him. It's about him restoring you. It's about his blood covering you, washing you clean from sin. That's why his emphasis is always on salvation. He says, gouge it out, throw it away, because you can still get a glorified body. When you and I die, I don't care if I get one eye or two leg or one arm. I'm going to be coming back with a new body anyway. Amen. Hallelujah. And his emphasis was always on salvation. I love Jesus. He says, you have heard that, but I say, do not. Hallelujah. The Bible says, seek wisdom and choose discretion before we face the forbidden woman. We are ordered to flee from sexual immorality. Now, why am I saying these things? Because Billy Graham's word so inspired me. You know the greatest thing that the church is facing every time now, the leaders in church? It's sexual immorality. That the enemy knows how to take a church down. The enemy knows. So if you're a leader, be even more vigilant about protecting your integrity. Pray for your leaders. Pray for the ministers. Pray for your politicians. Pray for the pastors in churches. Pray for me. If Paul asked for prayer, Apostle Paul, a mighty man of God, then how much more do we need your prayers? Hallelujah. All sin is sin. All sinners are sinners. But the more visible we are in leading God's people, the greater target we become for the enemy. Do you know that? If your life is really comfortable and you're not having any problems at all, you are not attacking the enemy's territory. You are not causing him some problems. He won't touch you. But if you're starting to have a little bit of problem in your life, you know that you do something. You are actually causing some havoc in the enemy territory. Amen? Because he doesn't like it. As long as your life is really comfortable and smooth, you know, comfortable life and smooth life is a worldly life. But the life that we go through, Jesus didn't promise a smooth ride. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7 urges us to remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their life and imitate their faith. It is vital that we emulate the leaders that we look up to. You know, I look up to Pastor Bill. Pastor Bill was my mentor. He's a man of integrity. I have never had the message of integrity so much until I came here and sat under his integrity leadership training. Changed my life forever. Because I start to understand what it's all about. But in this position that I am, I need your prayers. You need my prayers, and I need your prayers. All the leaders in the church need your prayers. Hallelujah. In Titus chapter 2, verse 7, we are called in all things to show yourself to be a model of good works. In doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, and in incorruptibility. We must pray for the pastors in the churches to model the character of Christ. Pray for the leaders, like I said before. Paul taught us to pray for all people, for all kings, for all in high positions. In Timothy chapter 1, verse 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. He says, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplications for all saints and also for me. Paul asked for prayer from the church. We are living in a very dangerous time, very challenging time as a church. And when I got this position, when I put my hands up to do this, to be the pastor of this church, I had to make a few changes in my life. A lot of changes. Because I want to be a role model to you. I want to be a person that you can look up to and say, yeah, I want to be like this. I want to be like that. You know, all of us, we live in a sin-damaged world. As we always say, the sin still around us. But the Word of God is the only thing that we have that can keep us from all that is happening around us. Amen? God has been leading me into more and more into areas of our lives that we have to deal with. And I don't want to be staring you with great good messages and staring your emotions and really nice feelings and tickling your ears about some great messages. No, I want to deal with the stuff that's really important to us, and that's righteousness. Walking upright before God for yourselves first. Hallelujah. I want to preach commandments, conditions, and obedience. These are important for us. Yes, we can get some great messages about grace and about all the other stuff, but at times, our own walk depends on being right before God. Amen. Jesus did, like I said before, Jesus did not get rid of sin. He simply paid the price for it, made a way for us, made it possible for us to come to God freely and not to worry about anything. Hallelujah. Make your decisions. You see, that's why I said that is why you don't make your decisions based on what? On your emotions. Emotion is a dangerous thing. You don't make decisions based on emotions. You make decisions based on the Word of God. Because the emotion stays where the will is. And the enemy will always attack the will always attack your willpower to choose from right or wrong. Again, three people in the front that we've been talking about. The enemy will always attack your will and your emotions. And when you succumb to it and make decisions out of emotions, then we're in the wrong. We're in a dangerous path. But when you make your decision based on the Word of God, and what he says and what his promises are for you and I. Hallelujah. The word of God, Bible says that the word of God will always last. It never will pass away. This world will pass away, but his word will last forever. That's why we can trust on God's word. We can trust his word. We can stand on his word. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 24, verse 25. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is what? Living and powerful, and is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts. Hallelujah. And intents of the heart. You know, I'm going to say what I'm going to say. And you can deal with it, pray and ask God about it, but set your heart for it. You know, I notice that people always use the word of God to mix right and wrong. People always use the word of God to justify themselves. The word of God is not there for you to justify your actions. The word of God is there to guide you first before anything else. You don't use it as an excuse after sin. You know, unfortunately, churches are like that. Churches are living a double standard life. Before I got this position, I was living quite relaxed. But I understand now that it's so important for me to make changes in my life. Little changes. It's not big change. Little changes that we take for granted. Hallelujah. You know, Christians are asking questions like, oh, you know, if I do this, am I still a Christian? And you compromise the word of God all the time. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. All scriptures is God-breathed, and it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training. In what? Righteousness. So that the servant of God, you and I, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Can I say this? And please hear my heart. You know, we like quoting scriptures. And here's some of them. Where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. We are not under law, but under grace. God sees us through Jesus as we have never sinned. We must not go back under the law because we are saved by grace and not by works. We must rest in the finished work. Yes, that all sounds good. But do you know that the effects of actual effect of causing people to take sin lightly? The effect of reading these scriptures will make you take sin lightly. You drop your guard every time. Because you say, yeah, I'm under the blood of Jesus now. But you know, Paul talks about obedience more than anything else. Paul didn't get apostleship just to bring you to faith. He says, no, you got to work on it. And by working on it, I'm meaning that you need to obey the word of God. If your faith is going to be strong, if your faith can remove mountains, then you need to bring obedience into it. Hallelujah. We shall only believe. We are under the blood. God sees us through Jesus and through. We have never sinned. Salvation does not depend on us. It was finished 2,000 years ago. We quote all the scriptures. Yet Paul did not receive apostleship only to lead people to faith. He labored to promote obedience of faith. Paul says, yes, these are all true. These are all word of God. But he says, but you need to obey. You need to bring obedience into it. You cannot just quote the scripture and walk loosely. You need to obey everything that he says. Obedience builds your faith. Obedience builds character. Hallelujah. James chapter 2, verse 14 to 26 is sometimes taken out of context in an attempt to create a works-based system. Let me just explain that. This blew me away. James is not saying that our works makes us righteous. We all know that. We are not saved by works. We're saved by grace. Hallelujah. It is a gift from God. But the real saving faith is demonstrated by what? Good works. People look at your life Jesus put it so plainly, and you shall know them by what? The fruits. People know that you're a follower of Christ, that you're truly born again by the Spirit of God, if there's fruit in your life. If you're bearing much fruit in Jesus Christ, then people know that you are. I don't want to say Christian. Everybody claims to be Christian. Church has become a state church because everybody's a Christian. But I'm talking about the real follower of Christ. Those that have died to sin. Those that have chose to follow Christ Jesus. No matter what. No compromise. No gray area. This is wrong and this is right. Hallelujah. You with me? Is it too strong? If it's meat, chew on it a little bit. It's great. Hallelujah. Faith in Christ always results in good works. The person who claims to be a Christian but lives willful disobedience to Christ as a false or dead faith and is not saved. This is what the Bible says. If you claim that you're a Christian and you still live like that, then you're not saved. And how many times is Christ going to die for you and I if we keep walking like that? Hallelujah. Paul basically says the same thing in Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 to 10, and you can read it on your own. Strong words. James contrasts two different types of faith, true faith and that saves the false faith that is dead. Hallelujah. If you have faith, then obedience must come into play to build your faith up in Christ. And so that the fruits that Jesus talks about in his word will be such in your life that people will look at you and go, yes. Because you don't pick grapes from thorn bushes. Coconuts don't bear mangoes. You don't find watermelon on a coconut tree. That'll be a weird looking tree, I tell you. Are you with me? Jesus said, a mango bears mangoes. Be fruitful. Bear much fruit in your life, but the right fruit. Jesus said, you will know them by the fruits. I love Jesus. He just shortcut in your face and just said, don't worry about them. You just check the fruits. Listen to what's being preached out there and check the fruits. Hallelujah. Too many people are getting sidewinded and blinded by false doctrine and following around all this nonsense that's happening around the world today. Jesus said, check the fruits. If there's no fruit in there, then don't follow them. Check your way. Don't believe me. Go and read your word. I'm only preaching what God is showing me, but go and read it. Open your Bibles and read. Hallelujah. Jesus puts it plainly. I love his words. By their fruit, you will know them. Hallelujah. Timothy chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. Take heed to yourself. Hey, strong words. And to the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. This is Paul's advice to Timothy. Timothy was a 16-year-old boy pastoring a church. And Paul says to him, Timothy, study. Make yourself, show yourself fit to be a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But he says, if you believe that, let me go back there. He says, take heed to yourself and to take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing so, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Very important statement. Hallelujah. It applies to us right now. This very day, this very moment. You know, the Amplified Version says, pay close attention to yourself. He said, Timothy, check yourself, concentrate on your personal development in Christ Jesus and your walk. Hallelujah. And to your teaching, and persevere in those things. Hold on to them. For as you do this, you will ensure that salvation will come to both yourself and those that are hearing you. Hallelujah. You still with me? Thank you, Jesus. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. There's a lot of scriptures. But it's the Word of God. And I don't preach from a book. This is the Word of God. If you believe that Jesus died for you and you will no longer live for yourself but for him who died for you and rose again. End of story. That's it. When you give your heart to Jesus and you believe. See, believing is one thing. But to apply it and to obey it and to walk in it is another thing. And that's what I said before. Sanctification is a process, but for some people it will take a long time because they chose not to obey little things. If you hooked on drugs, then the word says, move out, move away from people that are influencing you. Change your friends. I keep saying that all the time. I said to this young man, if you're having problems with drugs and alcohol and people you hang around, change your friends. Find some new friends. Come here. Hang out with the men. Go fishing. Hang around with people that will influence you and speak into your life and build you up by the word of God. It's not rocket science. He was sitting in there and I prayed with him and I said, son, I love you, but you're hanging around with the wrong people. He said, you're not the person that can cause all this stuff. It's not you. It's the enemy causing that. But you need to make the change. You need to take the first step of change. Because God will meet you halfway to make the changes in your life. You know, how long is sanctification going to be in people's lives? My sanctification was like that. It was a U-turn. Reverse. Back the other way. That was how my change was. And it blew a lot of people away because people know I was a violent person. I was into drugs. I was a musician. I was touring in the world and thinking of other things besides God. And then God says, okay, we're going to deal with this. And that's why when I was standing at Austin, Texas, I'm thinking, I'm in the wrong place. I'm not supposed to be here anymore. So God confirmed that it wasn't for me anymore. So it was good. I had to go to actually know that it wasn't for me anymore. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm nearly there. Closing summary. How you like that? Everybody's like, oh, when is it going to close? Well, it is closing now. And I'm closing with Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his purpose. See, the meaning of this word, and I spoke about it before, continue your salvation with fear and trembling. See, this is the same fear and trembling that the people had when God turned up at Mount Sinai. The meaning of this scripture is twofold. The word work out means to continue to what? To bring something into completion or fruition. Jesus said, the Bible says, work on your salvation. It says strive. Strive to do the right things. Strive to do the right things. He said, don't just leave it there. Because if you do, the enemy will always jump on you every time. Yes, you are covered by the blood of Jesus. Yes, but you know what? The armor of God is there for you for protection. And when he says, after you put all this stuff on, he says, go and pray. Don't take up your sword and wield up like a madman. It's not your job. Just pray. Because God will deal with all the other stuff. But the armor of God is for your own protection. Amen? Get that. That's really good stuff. We do this by actively pursuing what? Obedience. Walking in fear and trembling is actually walking in obedience to the greatness of God. Understanding how big God is. Understanding how great God is. And when you come to that realization and at that revelation, you will not want to sin. As Pastor Bill always says, if you love God, and if you say you love God, then you won't sin. Then you won't do anything to cause upset in other people's lives. You won't do anything to destroy your marriage. If you honor your marriage, you won't go and do other stuff that's going to destroy your marriage. Hallelujah. It says bring obedience in the process. And like I said before, sanctification can come when we obey the word of God. Then things start to fall quicker in our lives. Amen. Trembling, he experiences the altitude Christians is the attitude that Christians are having in pursuing this goal. Healthy fear of offending God through disobedience and an awe and respect for his majesty and holiness. Hallelujah. See, trembling can also refer to shaking due to weakness. But this weakness is for a higher purpose. That is for understanding God's awesomeness. When we understand that, we will always look at our salvation with more light and understanding that it didn't come lightly. Hallelujah. Psalm 2, verse 11, sums it up perfectly. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with what? Trembling. Hallelujah. We work out our salvation by going to a very source of our salvation, which is what? Let me find it. The Word of God. Hallelujah. This is what will guide your life. This is the laws. This is the constitution that we have for the kingdom of God. For you religious people, it's a Bible. But for you kingdom people, it's a constitution that we live by. Hallelujah. That controls your life. Hallelujah. I'm closing now. Nearly there. Last couple of scriptures. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. Coming into his presence with a spirit of what? Reverence and awe. And like I said, this is the very fear and trembling that the people felt at Mount Sinai when they saw the awesomeness of God, the lightning and the thunder and the sounding of the trumpet. And people said, Moses, you speak to us because we don't want to God to speak to us unless we die. They understood how powerful God is. And so Moses was like grace. Moses was like Jesus. Moses was the mediator between God and the Israelites and men. And now Jesus is the mediator between God and us. Hallelujah. The next time you are tempted, remember God is watching. God knows all things. God knows every hair on your head. It's counted mine. But you know when I get to heaven, I'm going to have the biggest afro that you're going to see. You know, I can drag myself into heaven with this head. But I'm telling you, we turn up there and you'll see an afro. You wouldn't even recognize me. Is that Pastor Ben over there? Yep. New afro. Hallelujah. Thank you, church. Are you with me with this? This is very important for us. We are living in a time where the enemy will point a finger at you. The leaders of the church, even you as a Christian, will be picked upon. But if your integrity stands strong, if you live and move and work on yourself and your life according to the Word of God, nothing will move you. Your integrity will speak for itself. It makes a way for you. You don't have to worry about people saying things about you because you know, and you know God knows. Hallelujah. And it's, why am I saying this? It's important for you and I. Because what God is about to do is going to be something really awesome in our lives. There's a time coming where we won't have to worry about living like this anymore. But it's important for us to learn it now. And this is the closing of walking in righteousness. The journey that we've traveled on since the beginning of 3 or 4 weeks ago. So let that word stay in your heart. Read your word. And walk in uprightness and righteousness before God. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Close your eyes. Hallelujah. Father, we honor you. We thank you for your wonderful blessing. We thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, you have spoken through the hearts of your people. I thank you, God, that your word has gone forth. Your word is, Lord, doing something in the lives of your people. It's doing something in the hearts, oh God. And I pray, Father, that whatever that has been upon your people this morning, whatever excess baggage or heaviness that they've carried with them, anything that is not of you, Lord, I pray as they come through this door and when they walk out of this door today, I pray that it shall be light. Lord, that they shall be set free from everything. Lord, we thank you. I pray today, Holy Spirit, that you minister to the lives and hearts of your people this morning. Thank you. Help us to walk, God, in uprightness. Help us to walk in righteousness. Be holy, fearing you, Father. Understanding your awesomeness and your goodness, your mercy and your grace, oh God. And help us to walk in that way. Help us to walk before our community. Help us to walk before our families, oh God, that they will truly know that, Father, we are spirit-filled, born again, changed by the power and the blood of Jesus. Thank you, God. Lord, we bring this before you. That is a request prayer for this church and for the people in this church today. Lord, I give you praise, give you honor, we give you glory. In Jesus' wonderful and precious name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.